the rooftop properties as far as, you know, various users that were putting up the antennas, and there was an equipment case up there that was abandoned with a mast and you know, big station master vertical, and I think he took that down and put up in its place a 450 or 440 antenna, 2 meters in, 440 out, or maybe it was 440 in and 2 meters out, and had a repeater up on the top of the 60-story building that had tremendous coverage. And, you know, he and his buddies had used the thing and really raised hell, and the 2 meter CBers went nuts and started pissing and moaning to the feces, and, you know, the fact that all he had was a novice, you know, about that time Riley was in charge, and I don't know, he got fined, I don't know, several thousand dollars, and, God.
Well, Ron didn't make it into pirate radio stations tuning into underground broadcasts, but KPRC did. Now, there's a powerhouse, KPRC. Oh, look, RNI. We all know those guys. And should I even say, after all that, KB1 NFS.
WA1H and YLR.
And K1 Mucus Voice. For fun and pleasure. I have not much background in pirate radio in the untied states of America, and I guess I got to read up on that next book I get, maybe, just something to amuse myself.
Well, what you do is you look up, you know, old issues of popular communications from 1982 through the 80s. There was a segment called The Pirate's Den, and there are all these loggings of various pirate stations. And back then, there was an entity that I was involved with that made it into every issue, it seemed. Nice one.
Absolutely. And now you're famous?
Well, in that world, yeah, but they don't know it's me, or they didn't.
We're all pirates here.
Look at that. Union City Radio used a Johnston Viking Razor. Page 59 with a picture of it.
I used a Lateen 130, and then I upgraded to a Ranger with a large amplifier.
Yes, the latrine.
I was looking at that thing the other day. It's still down. W2JBS. Pirate radio.
Boy, two for the price of one. Hi, Rich. Hi, Chris.
And if I buy three, do you get free shipping, or is that not included?
No free shipping on the 78 RPM records, though.
Plus $87 for shipping and handling, you know?
Oh, look, the Republican voice of Free Long Island.
Wasn't me.
And I printed the QSL card here. And let's see who else. Oh, yeah, KPRC, they're all over this thing. And KPF 941. This is cool. That would be fun to have a room with all these guys.
Alan did.
In his early days.
Okay, bartender, that was a double shot. Timmy, I heard you better. What'd you say?
I said, was that Alan Wiener in Yonkers?
KPRC? Who knows? Well, maybe the next guy to transmit would know.
No, you said KPF 941, which is weird, because that's a two-way call sign, but... Who was in Yonkers that was a pirate? Who was Alan?
Yes, it was. Well, what KPF 941 was, as you see, he and a buddy of his bought an AM station, WHVW, on 950. I believe that was in Hyde Park. And along with a license came a remote pickup license. And it was still an active remote pickup license for frequencies like 1622 or whatever back in the real old days before VHF and UHF were thought of. So what Alan did is he set up a transmitter in Monticello and fed his 400-foot tower, which is a full-wave vertical. And that, I believe, is where, was it, maybe it was KPRC or KPF 941. Because I remember hearing it back in the 80s. And it was one of those things that, being the tower was just about a full-wave vertical, there was no high angle, and there was no ground wave. It was all medium angle. And the thing is, when you do DFing, it's impossible to get a dead nuts fix for where signal's actually emanating from because, you know, as signal propagates through the ionosphere, it's always shifting back and forth. You can ballpark it and get it within a certain area, but you can't pinpoint it. So they'd go up to the area where they thought it was coming from, and because there was no high-angle sky wave, instead of getting stronger, it got weaker. And then there was no ground wave for them to hone in on, so it took them quite a while to figure it out.
Yeah, William Suffa and Dan Noel didn't seem to have much trouble at all.
Wow. Hey, that's cool. I never heard that story yet, Tim, and I never heard that operation. I remember Alan when he was still operating from Yonkers. Who the hell else was in Yonkers? A guy named Carmine. Forget his ham license, his ham call, if he even had one.
Yep, it was KA2PAP, known as Smear.
That's triple.
So there's a guy named Carmine in Yonkers on 2 meters all the time.
Is that KA2PAP?
I can put it on right now and find out. I'll be back.
Well, you know, the other thing is years ago, this is a bit of history, and you might ask him. He still has it. Is, I very rarely sold any amateur equipment, but I was hard up for money. And I forget what ham fester I went to, but I brought along the first Ranger that I ever had that I did up. And I mean, the audio in the thing was really done up. And Carmine bought it, and I sold it to him for $65. Yeah, 807's in it, all resistance coupled AB1, big triad modulation transformer, negative feedback, and the whole thing. And he used it for pirating, and then something in it eventually crapped out. And he never fixed it. But that'd be a good get.
Well, I hope it's the right Carmine, or it's going to be a very unusual conversation.
That Ranger mirrors the one that I built, Tim, with the 807s and the big transformer shoehorned in there and all that. But I think you went a little further with that. Very interesting. Very interesting stuff, and especially that bit about Alan and the thing in Monticello. That's hot stuff, man. Every time I see Judd Mansbeck, I mention Alan, and you can just see his blood pressure start to rise.
Well. Yeah, well, the feces really raked him over the coals because Alan had a commercial AM station in Monticello and a commercial FM. And the feces pried them away. They basically said he had to sell them to minorities.